Thank you for the anointing that does sit on Kerry, but we want to pray for an extra special anointing this morning. I pray that she would just be in tune with your spirit as she speaks, and as you nudge her to perhaps shift or left or right or introduce a new story, or that you'd give her that, just the ears to hear your voice. Pray for our ears, that we would be listening ears, receptive to your Holy Spirit, not just receptive to Kerry's voice, but receptive to your Holy Spirit and what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's lovely to be with you. Hello to you all. Thank you for having me. Hello to the people who I don't know so well. It's lovely to see you this morning. This week we've been on 1 Samuel 20 to 24, and it's been the story of David and Saul. And last week you had Colin with you, and he talked about David part 1. I've got David part 2. And next week, you've got David part 3. And Colin talked to you last week about David being chosen, anointed, and empowered, and reminded us all that we were all chosen, anointed, and empowered by God. And this week, I am on David, a promise challenged, or how to play the waiting game. Because here, we see David, although he has been chosen and anointed to be king of Israel, he has to wait probably about 20 years for the fulfillment of that promise. And this week, we follow him when he's in that period. Next week, you'll have a promise fulfilled when he actually becomes king. But we read these stories, don't we? And you can get caught up in all the nitty-gritty of it. But I kind of like to stand back a bit and say, okay, so what is this trying to illustrate for me? Why is this in the Bible? What is it telling me about my life today? And in the stories we've read this week, the chapters we've read this week, we've seen two people. We've seen King Saul and we've seen David. And they're both trying to work out their destinies in God. Both of them are called to kingship. Both of them are chosen by God. Both of them are anointed by God. They both know God, and we're told the Spirit of God at separate times is on both of them. Both of them face struggles, pressure, and circumstances beyond their control. But we see very different outcomes, where in the end, it's their character and their response to God that determines what ultimately happens to them. And we are all chosen by God. We're all anointed. We are all empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we all face struggles and delays and questions and mystery and disappointments. How are we going to live through those? How are we going to wait our way through those as the people of God? What do we learn from these guys? So this morning, we are going to look at Saul. Even though this is about David, we're going to look at Saul. We're also going to look at David. Now, I did not know Richard Gere played David. But he did apparently, so I thought, okay, ladies, we love a bit of Richard Gere on Sunday morning, don't we? So he's up there, not meant to be a distraction. And we're going to look at us. So we're going to look at three different sets of people. So let's go first of all and have a look at Saul. In this period, he is currently king. And this is the phrase that I sort of think sums up Saul. Gifting can get you where you want to go, but it's character that keeps you there. How many leaders in society today do we see in the public eye whose character is their downfall? I'm sure you can think of politicians, I'm sure you can think of celebrities, even some religious leaders, where ultimately character has been their downfall. And we've got Saul. He's called by God to be king. God is with him. He's gifted. He's a valiant warrior. He's initially very popular with the people. He wins loads of battles over Israel's enemies, but he has his own internal battles. His life is founded on pride and on fear. Now, this might be familiar to you. I trembled slightly doing this with you this morning because my husband works for, and Sandra, work for the people who did this. But anyway, I'm going to have a go. So Sandra and Jonathan, you can jump up if I tell it wrong this morning. But here's the way we can live. This is our heart. This is the way we can live. We can choose to live out of humility and love or out of pride and fear. at its simplest, that's what it is. And this bit here is the line. You choose to live above the line or below the line. And with Saul, we just see a man who lives in pride and fear. You see those words, self-promoting and self-protecting. When you read the story of Saul, do you not see that in him? Self-protecting, self-promoting. And how does this pride and this fear manifest itself in Saul's life? Well, think about the stories. We see he's hugely competitive, isn't he? We see this thing with David. He's enraged by David's popularity. We see him striving. He always has to go for his own thing. He runs ahead of Samuel, won't wait for sacrifices to be offered. He does it himself. We even see him going as far as attempted murder of David, of his own son Jonathan, and actual murder later in the story of God's priests. Now, God does not want to leave him there. And God keeps sending him Samuel the prophet to warn him and guide him. But ultimately, the destiny that was possible for Saul was undermined by his own pride, his own fear, and his own lack of character. God says this in the story, "I regret that I've made Saul king, for he's turned back from following me, and he's not carried out my commands." And we also read, "The Lord had departed from him." Nothing goes Saul's way anymore. Let's get to the next one. Samuel, the prophet who came to Saul, said this, "You've acted foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as a ruler over his people, because you've not kept what the Lord commanded you." That's a familiar phrase to many of us, isn't it? A man after his own heart. That was David. What's God's heart like? We've seen Saul's heart lived out of pride and fear. God's heart is full of love and humility. God works out of those. How do they manifest themselves? In God's goodness to us, in his kindness to us, in him wanting to bless, in him wanting to show mercy, to show grace, wanting to transform us, wanting to draw us into a relationship with him. And I think the story of Saul is really interesting, isn't it? Because we see so clearly how God honors our free will and our choices. God doesn't force us to do anything. Even though Saul was chosen and he was anointed as king with a destiny ahead of him, he was able to choose how much of that he wanted to walk in. So we're chosen and anointed by God. And our responses to all the things of our life can often determine how much of God's goodness and grace we are able to receive. Will we choose to cut ourselves off from God's love, the flow of his mercy, or will we keep our hearts soft and open to him, allowing him to fill us, to bring us strength, to bring us blessing? God is a good, good father. With his arms outstretched to us. We sang it, didn't we? I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. Will we be like those people who run toward him with soft hearts, open hearts, wanting to receive everything he has? Or will we be like, you've all seen toddlers, haven't you? They turn away and they want to do their own thing. Who will we be like? I wonder what would have happened if Saul had repented. We don't see that, do we? We don't see that in the story. He doesn't. What would have happened if Saul had turned from all of that hardness of heart, from all of his pride, all of his fear, and if he'd looked at the roots of those problems and turned to God for forgiveness? We know, don't we, that Jesus' love and forgiveness are extended to all of us every minute of every day. So every time we get it wrong, every time we choose the wrong thing, he's there. Arms outstretched, and all we have to do is turn to him. our heart attitude is the key. Where will we live? Where will we live? So let's look at David, which is what I'm supposed to be talking about. But you've got to start with a bit of Saul. A man after God's own heart. So we've said that David is also chosen, anointed. The Spirit of God's on him. He's gifted as well. He's a brave warrior. He's a worshipper. He's a fearless and inspiring leader. He's popular with the people. The ladies love him. Why put Richard Gere up? And he's also popular with Saul's servants. That's got to hurt, hasn't it? Did you read that bit? Even Saul's servants loved him. His key quality is this. And over in the New Testament in Acts, this is neatly summarized for us, this story. God raised up deliverers for the people until the time of the prophet Samuel. The people craved for a king, so God gave them one from the tribe of Benjamin. That was Saul, who ruled for 40 years. After removing him, God raised up David to be king. For God said of David, I have found in David, son of Jesse, a man who always pursues my heart and will accomplish all that I've destined him to do. That's really challenging, isn't it? A man who always pursues my heart. That's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for us, that we'll be people who always pursue God's heart. That's always pursue a relationship with him, but people who always look to live out of love and humility. And we're told God is with him. We're told as a result, David prospers in all his ways. But even so, he's got to wait 20 years to see his promise from God fulfilled for him to become king. And, you know, he didn't just carry on with his life, going to work, whatever, waited 20 years, had some family and did his own thing. And then one day, whoop, there we go, I'm king. He was constantly under threat. He was hounded by Saul. Saul constantly tried to kill him. David had to flee for his life, leave everything, leave family, leave country. All of that was going on. Great hardship throughout that 20 years. How does David respond in all of that? Back to our heart life thingy, we see David on the whole in humility and in love. He humbles himself before God. We'll see that in a moment. And before Saul. He has opportunities to kill Saul, doesn't he? But he says, no, I'm not going to do that because Saul is God's rightful king until God takes him away. So I'm just going to be humble and I'm going to not take matters into my own hands. He trusts himself to God's timing and God's ways, and he loves God with all his heart. We can read about David's attitude and his responses in the Psalms. The Psalms are like David's prayer journal, like where he's pouring out his heart. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling, God. This is who you are. Reminding himself constantly of who God is for him in all the struggles. And Psalm 16 has a great quote in it. This is what David says. Lord, I have chosen you as my inheritance. You are my prize, my pleasure, and my portion. I leave my destiny and its timing in your hands. And that's the key. That's the key to the success in David's life. He chose God as his inheritance, as his first and foremost. And he left his destiny and its timing in God's hands. And that's our challenge, isn't it? In today's world where we want everything now and we're probably quite capable of getting a lot of it now, it's our choice as we hold God's promises. Who will we be? Will we be people who choose to surrender to God? Or people running with our own agendas? Will we be those who are self-aware and get healed up and whole from the stuff in our hearts so that we can fully chase after all God has for us? Here's a great little quote. Patience is not the ability to wait, but how you act while you're waiting. So our choice is, do we want to be a Saul or do we want to be a David? In every circumstance, in every choice of life, who am I going to be? Am I going to walk in love and humility like David? Or am I going to be a Saul and walk in pride and in fear? What are we going to be, Saul's or David's? I don't know what you're facing today, what difficulties, what challenges. I don't know what you've faced in the past, what disappointments they've been, what hurts, what trials, things that you've had to go through. I do know that every single one of us probably have unanswered prayers along the way, have unfulfilled promises, have questions, have doubts. We've all got mysteries that we live with, haven't we? How will we wait? How will we wait? I'm waiting for promises from God to come to pass that I haven't seen happen yet. I'm waiting for a health issue to be resolved that I haven't had healing in yet. I'm waiting for my kids to come back to God fully because they haven't yet. I've got questions over things that have happened in my life that seemingly have no answers yet. How will I wait? Will I be a Saul or will I be a David? Am I going to let pride and fear rule me and dictate my choices and my outcome? Or am I going to respond in love and humility before my God and choose to walk in his endless blessings for me every day? I talked about David and his prayer journal. He wrote a psalm that can be directly attributed to this exact time. It's Psalm 27, and in my Passion Bible, it's headed Fearless Faith. And in it, he says this right at the end of the psalm. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. I feel like I need to have that tattooed on my arm or something and walk around with that. That's the secret to life and waiting and holding the mysteries. Don't give up. Don't give up. In Hebrews, the writer in the New Testament says this, you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up almost any minute. We're not quitters who lose out. Oh no, we'll stay with it and survive, trusting all the way. That's Hebrews 10 in the Message Bible. Trust God. Don't let fear triumph over you. Lean on your friends. Lean on your church family. Don't withdraw and be isolated. We need one another. In one of the deepest and darkest things that I'd ever gone through, I remember crying out to God, where are you? Why won't you love me? Why can't I feel your love? And I was on the M6. Jonathan was driving. I was in the car. And instantly I heard God say, I'm loving you through Jonathan. And I knew straight away what that meant because he had been such a support to me. That's how God showed me his love. God wants to show us love through the people here. You know, Jesus talks about us being knitted together as one, knitted together in love. That's why we need one another, to not give up. Be entwined as one with the Lord. That's a bit more than just having a morning quiet time, isn't it? I forgot to do it before I left the house. I was going to get two scarves. Look at Sandra and Alba, they're two scarves. And I was literally going to twist them together. That's what it means, to be twisted, entwined with God. It's more than that quiet time. It's an attitude of heart. Our spiritual disciplines are really important. That's why we are doing Bible readings. That's why we're doing prayer. That's why we have worship. That's why we're encouraged to spend time with God in silence and quietness, to be entwined with him. But we need to remind ourselves as well. I think part of being entwined with him is reminding ourselves who we are in him. Steve Backlund from Bethel Church in Reading wrote a fantastic book called You're Crazy If You Don't Talk to Yourself. And I just think it's true. We have to remind ourselves of who we are in God. Sarah recommended to me a book by that man, Sarah, Dr. Rangan Chatterjee. Is that the one? The TV doctor, called Stress Solutions. And I've been reading it. I did buy it, Sarah, and I have been reading it. And he talks in there from a secular point of view about the power of affirmation, about how we need to talk to ourselves. We need to give ourselves a jolly good talking to. You know, in the morning I wake up, I tell myself who I am in God, because the enemy wants to tell me I'm not that person. My own self wants to tell me I'm not that person. At the moment, I'm waking up and I'm saying, I am loved. I am joyful. I am at peace. And I just encourage you to get some things, take scriptures, whatever, and talk to yourself and tell yourself who you are. Remain entwined with him. Throughout the day, when you're tempted to doubt it, repeat those things. Remain entwined with your Lord. And the last one, it was don't give up, be entwined, be brave and courageous. If you were at the River Together, you'd have heard the message that I brought there. One of the things I believe God's asking of us as a church is to be courageous. He's saying, who will you be in this season? Who will you be? Be courageous. And we gave out those cards. There are some over there on the table. Why don't you take one? Be courageous this year, River Church. Be courageous. Stick it in your Bible to remind yourself of who you are. So I said to the Lord, well, this is all very good, but what do we want to do this morning? Well, how do we take this in? What do we do with this? And I just felt that this morning God wants to do an exchange with us this morning. So he wants to take your Saul stuff this morning, and he wants to give you some David stuff. So by your Saul stuff, I mean those areas of doubt, those areas of fear and pride, where you're battling, where you're feeling cut off from him, all the situations and issues that you're in today, your Saul stuff. And he wants to give you some David stuff. What is David stuff? There's a fascinating little bit in the stories we've been reading this week of David and his friendship with Jonathan. And Jonathan loved David as he loved his own self. And Jonathan was actually the rightful king, the rightful heir to the throne. He was Saul's son. So he was the one who should have been inheriting the throne, not this David person who'd come out of nowhere. But actually, he acknowledges the call of God on David. And what he does is he gives David his robe, his sword, his bow, and his belt. And what he was saying was, I'm giving you all the things that make me king. And I looked up what those things are biblically, what they mean, what they represent. The robe he gave him is representative of the kingdom. The sword is representative of truth, of wisdom, of revelation. The bow is a symbol of victory. It means to tread down the enemy. I liked that. And the belt is about eternity. It's about strength. It's about protection. So, follow me on this. The heir to the throne of the king, Jonathan, gives David, the lover of God, the kingdom, the victory, the strength, the protection, and the truth. And it says, David went out and prospered. So you are lovers of God. Jesus is heir, God's heir, rightful heir. He gives you the kingdom. He gives you the kingdom of God. He gives you victory in him. He gives you strength. He gives you protection. And he gives you truth, revelation, and wisdom. And that's what the David stuff is that he wants to release to you this morning as the rightful children of God, because that's who you are. So are you up for it? Do you fancy getting rid of some David stuff and Saul stuff and taking on some David stuff? Yeah? Shall we do it? Okay. So why don't you stand? Do you want to stand? I think we should stand for this. Stand for this. So why don't you just close your eyes if that's helpful for you. Let's remember that God is here. Jesus is here. Holy Spirit is closer to you than your very own breath. It doesn't matter what's happened this week. It doesn't matter how long or not you've known him. God is close to your heart this morning and he wants to be there. He wants to be there. So just take this moment to bring to your mind those things that you feel Holy Spirit is asking you to surrender today. Your soul stuff. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's lack of trust. Doubt. Disappointment in God. Pride. And in your mind's eye, in your imagination, see yourself handing your soul stuff to God. Just pass it over. You don't have to hold it. And look down at your hands and see they are empty of soul stuff. And now Father God wants to give you the kingdom. The kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace. He wants to give you truth of who he is, of who you are in him. He wants to give you victory. He wants to give you strength and protection. He's handing those things over to you abundantly. You haven't just got a little bit of it. Abundantly. Father God, I thank you that you absolutely delight to take away our soul stuff and our rubbish. And you love to give us good things. You love to give us your kingdom. You love to give us peace, protection, joy, strength. And I pray for every single one of us, you'll help us in the waiting game. God, would you help us walk with hearts that are full of love and humility? Holy Spirit, would you draw us to be entwined with you every moment of every day? And would you give us the courage to keep on going and to never give up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Kerry is going to come and lead us in some worship. And I think she's going to do King of My Heart. You are? Yeah, go for it. It's a good one. So we can really sing this one out. While I was praying, I did have feel a couple of things. I felt there's somebody here, or maybe more than one person, and you have a date looming when you've arranged to do something. You've decided to do something. You have actually changed your mind about that, but you're feeling pressured by things around you to go through with it. And God just says, choose life. Choose life. I don't know if that applies to somebody here. I had a really vivid dream about it. That's why I'm bringing it. So please, I'll stand over there. Please come. Let me pray with you. I don't dream often, so that was interesting. I'd asked God to give me something for you guys. And I also felt that I'd love to pray with whoever has some disappointment that they're holding from the past. Disappointment's like a shell that forms around our hearts, and God just wants to break that this morning so you're freer from it. And the last one was somebody's been praying for something for a long time and you've seen nothing happen. And I believe God just wants to encourage you that he is at work. That he is at work and he will bring life from your prayers. So I just leave those with you. As we worship, please let's worship. And I'm going to stand over there and I'd love to pray with you guys if you would like that.